today on Real Radio.
So first event that is to happen, according to the Bible, is the rapture. It's the translation upward of all the believers caught up to meet the Lord in the air. It is going to happen. What about the second coming then? When Christ physically returns to earth, well, there's no translation at all. Mark that down.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack continues in his topical series called You Need to Know, a collection of lessons on the essentials of our faith. We're in a multi-part series called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. Among the key events of end times is the rapture. You've probably heard that word before. The removal of God's people from the earth at a certain time in history. That's what our teacher addresses in this lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9. We are marching on with our series, You Need to Know series, and it's essential that we do this, that we stay focused on this today. We're looking at that doctrine called eschatology, the future. One of the great things, of course, as a parent, as a mom, is that you want to make sure that that child has stability and security. Well, God wants you and I to have stability and security in the family of God. And he tells us these things by future doctrines of the Bible. As you've been hearing, the Bible introduces us to the God of the Bible, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, he says of himself, and he alone is the God that communicates to us the future, of course found in the Bible. No other book in the world, as you've been hearing, has the exactness and perfection of the Bible, and no other book in the world written among religious leaders dares speak of prophecy but the Bible. 27% of your Bible on your lap is prophetic, and the God of the Bible speaks about the future. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 9, God says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass." Isn't that an amazing statement? Just that. The former things have come to pass. This is what God means by that statement. It's odd to us. We don't get that. But God, who's eternal, says, "Behold, the former things have come to pass." The word implies the things I told you about in distant times, the former things, they've happened. "And new things I declare," God is speaking. "Before they spring forth, I tell you of them." That's our theme verse for today. Isaiah chapter 45, verse 21 says this. Isaiah 45, 21. God says, "I declare what is to be." He says, "Present it. Let them take counsel together. Who foretold this long ago? Who declared it from distant past? Was it not I, the Lord?" Notice, he's the only one who can do that. And by the way, look in your Bible, capital L-O-R-D. It's an awesome statement. That is the God who is our salvation. That is his name, Yah. You can mark down in your margins. L-O-R-D is capital Y, capital A, capital H. Yah, that's God's name. It's the root word. His name is the root word to salvation. The salvation God speaks about the future. No other God of the Mormons, of the Jehovah's Witnesses, of Islam speaks about the future, the God of that saves. No other God. But the God of the Bible, that excites me. That's why I'm a Christian. The God who says, "I'll save you, Jack," is the God that says, "I keep my word. And to prove it, Jack, look at what I've said in the past. Have I not performed it?" What does that mean to me? That means the God who says he will save me is the God who will keep his word. Amen? Let's all be Pentecostal for a moment and say, amen.
Amen.
Yes, amen to that. He goes on and says, that, "And there is no God apart from me, a righteous God and Savior. There is none but me. Turn to me and be saved, all you ends of the earth, for I am God and there is no other." The study of the future things, the study of what the Bible says about the future, reveals the majesty of God and the omniscience of God, the glory of God. It reveals the fact that God says that he is infused into our human DNA, as it were, spiritual desires to know him. And God says that he's the governor of time. In our two previous studies, we looked at number one, why is this study important? Why is this doctrine of future things important? God wants us to know them. It's important. Number two, last week we saw, what is it? The second coming of Christ. We talked about that. What is it about? And this is all important to us. And I got to tell you, I'm going to try to control myself this morning to keep my feet on the ground. I have to tell you, I got so excited. I was talking to the pastors in our prayer time before service about the study of this. And I got so excited. I just started preaching at these guys. And they're like, yeah, I already know this, Jack. I already know this. Calm down. I already know this. I'm so excited about this. Because, again, the God who knows the future is the God who knows you. And the God who knows you, listen, he knew you before you were born. That's prophetic. He knew that. Yeah, but I'm this and I'm that. Be quiet. Do you trust the Lord? Do you believe Jesus died on the cross? Listen, I'm giving you the gospel now. Listen carefully. Do you believe that Jesus died on the cross and rose again from the grave for your sins? That there's no salvation, there's no heaven without him. Amen to that. He did that. He's the prophetic God. And he keeps his word, and Bible prophecy is all about him keeping his word. And we're looking at this doctrine of the second coming. And do you remember last week what it means? The compartments, it's based upon that umbrella we talked about. That umbrella divided up into two manifestations regarding his second coming. That umbrella is marked the second coming, but it's divided between the handle. On one side of that handle of that umbrella is the events of the rapture, and on the other side is the events of the physical second coming of Christ to earth. So mark it down. It's where we left off last time. It is that two-stage event that God speaks to us about. And they are separated by no less than 7-year period of time, the Bible tells us. Church, are you ready? Get out a pen. Get out a piece of paper. Get ready. We're going to have some fun. I mean it. I told you last week, we're going to show you some stuff. I hope this gets you pumped up. We're going to show you 4 slides total. And if we get done with all 4 slides this morning, I'll be happy. Now, I know the risk of this. The risk of us going through this, I run the risk of boring you. I run the risk of causing this to be tedious. And I run the risk of losing your attention span. I understand all that. I'm willing to take that risk that you might leave today more strengthened and encouraged about the God who keeps his promises. So listen, if you start yawning, if you notice anybody around you yawning as we go through this, that's right. You just nudge them like Robin just did to King James right here in the front row. She just pushed him. You do the same thing to those around you. We've got to know this. Before we get going, I'll prove it. How many of you are Christians? Raise your hands right now. Okay, then look. If you're Christians, you can't fall asleep right now. You're in church. You ready? Slide number 1. Mark it down in your note-taking. You can use the papers in front of you if you would. End time events comparison. Will you write that down? End time events comparison. Why do we bring this up? Because there are those, listen carefully, there are those who want to argue about when Jesus Christ returns. I think we all agree as Christians that he will return. He must return. That's one of the doctrines of Christianity. Jesus Christ will come again. And we looked at that last week. Go ahead and look at last week's study when you get the time. But we're looking at the end time events comparison. Number 1, and draw a line right down the middle of your note-taking paper and mark this down. If I would have had some creativity, I would have drawn the umbrella. It just dawned on me. I should have done that. Okay, so on your umbrella right now for today's argument, end time events comparison, that is the canopy of your umbrella. You with me? Right down the middle of those of the dots, right down the middle of your page, go ahead and put the handle of your umbrella. So first event that is to happen, according to the Bible, is the rapture. Number 1, it is the translation of all believers. For example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 to 18, and John chapter 14, verses 1, 2, and 3, that it is the taking up of the believer from earth to God's presence, to the presence of Jesus Christ. It's described in the Bible as such. And we argue this morning from the Bible that it's called the rapture. The harpazo in Greek is how you see it in your Greek New Testament. Again, as I mentioned last week, if you read the Latin Bible, if you read and speak Latin, it's the word rapture. Now, how is it different regarding the comparison? Here's where it gets very fun. It's the translation upward of all the believers caught up to meet the Lord in the air. That is a biblical theological fact. It is going to happen. What about the second coming then? When Christ physically returns to earth, well, there's no translation at all. Mark that down. One is a translation upward. The other is no translation or no rapturing up at all. Number two, the rapture teaches us in the Bible that the believers are kept from the wrath, kept from the judgment of God. The word wrath, as we saw last week and we'll see today again, that we are promised to be kept from the wrath of God that is coming upon all those who dwell on the face of the earth. Notice, church, listen, mark this down. I did not say persecution. Never confuse persecution with the wrath of God. Persecution is the wrath of Satan and the wrath of man. God never, I'll say it for the third time for effect, God never sends persecution to his church. Satan does that. The world does that. God will use it, but God never sends it. God sends his wrath, though, his judgment, upon a Christ-rejecting world. So number two, believers are kept from the wrath of God, says Revelation 3, verse 10. But the second coming deals with the fact that the world suffers under the wrath of God. Isn't that interesting? Mark that down. Very important theological facts. Number three, believers enter into heaven at the moment of the rapture. Jesus said this in John 14. He receives the believers that are waiting and watching for him up to himself and presents them in heaven. He promises this. The book of Revelation 19 addresses this. What do we see in comparison? The believers exit out of heaven in the second coming. I sarcastically said it last week. If you don't believe in a rapture of the church, then how did the church ever get to heaven in the first place? When you open up the Bible in the book of Revelation chapter 19, and the church is in heaven, getting ready to come back with him. The simple question is laid before you. How did they ever get there? Very important. Believers enter into heaven at the rapture, and the second coming, they exit heaven with Christ. Number four, it's a joyous event. The Bible says in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, it is the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. But the second coming says it is the great and notable, the terrifying or terrible day of the Lord. It's a terrifying event. Did you know that? The second coming of Christ to earth is a terrifying event. The Bible tells us in the book of Revelation that those who dwell on the earth will cry out saying, "Hide us from the wrath of the Lamb and from Almighty God." They will be terrified, all those who dwell on the earth. Next, the earth in the rapture is not judged. The Bible tells us at the moment of the rapture, there's no mention of the earth being judged, is there? This is great to see you. You're writing these down. It's beautiful. By the way, I'll post these later online, and you guys can get them. Probably shouldn't have said that. Then you're going to stop writing them. Maybe I will. We'll see. I don't know. At the time of the rapture, the earth is not judged. Well, that's interesting, because we know that when Christ comes back, the earth is going to be judged. In fact, he's going to judge the earth with his word of his mouth, isn't it? The Bible tells us he's going to sit upon the throne of David. The Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah. And in Matthew chapter 25, the Bible tells us that Jesus Christ will sit upon the throne of his father David and judge the earth. That doesn't happen at the rapture. Interesting. The earth's not judged at the rapture, but it is judged at his second coming. Think of that. In fact, the book of Daniel tells you exactly how long it's going to take him. Did you know that? That's your homework. I'll give you a hint. It's in chapter 12 of Daniel 12. It'll tell you right there how many days it takes Jesus Christ to judge the nations of the earth sitting on this throne in Jerusalem. Wow. Next, the rapture is signless, imminent, momentary. Any moment now. Imminent. The rapture is imminent. No warnings, no signs, no prophetic precursors necessary for the rapture to happen. Isn't that exciting? Oh, man. Well, what does the Bible say about the second coming? Must follow predictive prophecies, many of them. For example, the Antichrist has got to come onto the world saying, look, if you're looking for the Antichrist first, what a sad life you're living. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for Jesus Christ. I'm not waiting for the Antichrist to show his ugly face. I'm waiting for Jesus to show his glorious face in the heavens. Listen, anybody who teaches that you need to be looking for the Antichrist instead of Jesus Christ, that's weird. Nowhere is that taught in the Bible. Jesus says, look for me, watch for me. You don't know when I'm coming. Watch out, be ready. Don't get caught up in the things of the world. Be looking. You don't know when. Isn't that neat? So simple. Next, the rapture. It's not taught in the Old Testament. That's an interesting argument. From silence. It's not in the Old Testament. It's not mentioned. There's a hint in Isaiah 26, verses 19 to 21. You can write that down next to your margins, but put a question mark there. There's a hint about it. But for all intent and purposes, it's not mentioned in the Old Testament. You say, why isn't it mentioned in the Old Testament? It didn't have to be mentioned in the Old Testament. By the way, this is kind of fun. It wasn't mentioned as a future event in the Old Testament, but were there raptures in the Old Testament of certain particular people? Ooh, isn't that fun? I challenge you to go look right down in your margins. Are you guys having fun with this? I hope you're having fun with this. I love this kind of stuff. If this flops today, then I'll quit and go be a teacher at a school somewhere because I don't know. I love this kind of stuff. Here's the deal. Enoch, remember Enoch? Enoch was walking with God, and the Bible says all of a sudden Enoch was no longer because God took him, and he went into heaven without dying. Do you remember Elijah? Elijah. There's Elijah and Elijah. Elijah was a friend of Elijah. Elijah says, can I have your ministry when God takes you? And he says, look, that's not for me to decide. That's for God to decide. But if you're hanging out with me when it happens, then that's God's business. So Elijah, which is fun. Read 1 and 2 Kings, it's awesome. I'm getting off the point, but it's fun stuff. Elijah was a stud. I think you think most people who work for God are kind of wimpy little frail people like me. Elijah was a stud. The Bible tells us that Elijah would get up and he would run. He'd run to Bethel. He'd run to Jericho. He'd run. Can you imagine? Elijah. There goes Elijah. And you mark those locations, by the way, in your Bible. The guy, it says that he ran from this place to that place in a day. The dude ran. He just ran. He's running. And Elijah, he wants the ministry of Elijah. So he's like this. Wait for me. Wait for me. He's running. He's trying to keep up. And while he's looking one day, the chariot of fire begins to appear in the atmosphere. And the angel of the Lord appears, and Elijah is caught up from the earth and is received up into glory. Sound familiar? Yeah. Think of it. Not mentioned in the Old Testament for a big reason. It wasn't going to happen in the Old Testament. It was going to happen in the New Testament era. So it's not mentioned in the Old, but it's throughout. Listen, the second coming is throughout the Old Testament. In fact, did you know the second coming teaching is extensively more prominent in the Old Testament than it even is in the New Testament. And the New Testament speaks about the second coming. But the Old Testament doesn't mention about the rapture. It's only found in the New. Keep that in mind. The rapture affects only the believers. Only the believers. The second coming says it affects all unbelievers. That's cool. I like that. Next slide. The rapture, it happens before the day of wrath, clearly revealed in the Bible. Second coming concludes the day of God's wrath. This is a very significant argument. Without warning, imminently, the rapture takes place, and then 2 Thessalonians 2 says, that wicked one shall be revealed. Then the seven-year peace treaty with Israel, Daniel chapters 9, verses 24 to 26 are revealed to us. Then, watch this, it happens before the time or the day of God's wrath. The Bible tells us that the 7 years in the book of Jeremiah is the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of God's wrath upon earth. But listen, the second coming concludes the day of God's wrath. Jesus Christ comes back and puts an end to the 7-year tribulation period. Isn't that interesting? Next, atmospheric appearance only. The rapture is an atmospheric appearing of Jesus. Jesus says himself in John 14, and Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 4, that he will meet us in the air to take us to himself, that where he has been, there we will be also. Not here, but there. Okay? Notice this. The second coming is a universal terrestrial arrival. That Jesus Christ, every eye sees him all around the world. Everybody sees him in his second coming. And he returns to earth physically in Israel, in Jerusalem. Big difference. Rapture versus the physical second coming of Christ. The rapture, at the time of the rapture, there's no reference to Satan at all. The second coming, hallelujah, Satan is bound for 1,000 years. Good news. Next, regarding the rapture, as we look at the comparison, Jesus comes for his bride, the church. In the Bible, the church is called the bride of Christ. Jesus comes to pick her up. I find that interesting, by the way. We're not making this up, my friends. The Bible calls the church his bride. Does any groom put his wife through a beating up process and let Satan clean her clock? Find that interesting. No. Jesus comes for his bride. Watch this. The second coming, the Bible tells us again, Revelation 19, Jesus comes, what? With his bride. I hope some lights are being turned on in your hearts and minds right now. The rapture, only believers see him. Isn't that interesting? Only believers see him. But Pastor Jack, I thought it says that there's going to be the shout, the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet of God. That is going to happen. But I find it interesting, by the way, that when Jesus Christ appeared to Paul on the Damascus Road, Paul saw and heard the Lord, but those that are around him only saw some form of an atmospheric disturbance. They didn't understand what was going on. Isn't that kind of cool? I'm not equating the two events together. I'm just saying that only Paul heard and saw Jesus. The unbelievers around him did not. The beautiful thing about this is, Bible is clear that those who are watching and waiting for him, those who are watching and waiting for him, I believe that it is incumbent upon the believer, and I believe that it's part of the Christian's nature to be longing and wanting and waiting and watching for Jesus. The second coming is completely different than that. Every eye shall see him, the Bible says, every eye. Next. The tribulation period begins at the rapture. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. The rapture, at some point in time, the tribulation period begins after the rapture. Could be a minute, could be an hour, could be years, could be months. It doesn't say. But the Bible says in 2 Thessalonians that the Holy Spirit will move aside, step aside out of the way, and then shall that wicked one be revealed.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a lesson called You Need to Know All About the Future Things. It's one in a multi-part series that focuses on what God's written word has to say about eschatology, and in this case, a special emphasis on the rapture of the church. You Need to Know All About the Future Things is taken from Pastor Jack's collection of studies. It's called You Need to Know, and we'll continue with more on the next edition of Real Radio. You know, podcasts are becoming increasingly more and more popular among believers, especially with those who are seeking a Christian worldview in these perilous times. We simply want the truth about what's really happening in our world today. It's why Pastor Jack has included podcasts as one of his platforms, along with Real Life TV and Real Life Radio. Many of you have witnessed through these radio broadcasts that Pastor Jack really is straightforward, truthful, and has a passion to help us come to a greater understanding of God's Word and what the future holds. So, if your desire is to see your relationship with Christ deepen and to have an impact on today's culture, well, check out Pastor Jack's podcasts. You can access his podcasts through the podcast app or from our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.